Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment of Weekend Update. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson. Firmly ensconced behind the silver cowboy state politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. It's good to be back in the studio, my friends, one weekend away from the middle swamp. I have to tell you, my friends, that every single time I walk out of that Capitol building and get back to my home away from home, I feel like I need a shower. There are so many dirty things that happen in that building that if the average Wyoming citizen were to see it, the top of their head would come exploding off of their body, and it'd take us a week to put it all back together. Fortunately for you, though, I do most of the dirty work for you. Let me just give you one example. Yesterday, the Senate gaveled out early because they had all of their work done, or all the work they could get completed on Friday anyway. The truth is, the Senate is way ahead of the House, and all of that rests on the shoulders of Albert Sommers. Had he possessed the ability to manage the House efficiently, none of this would be happening. There wouldn't be five bills that are yet to be assigned to a committee. There wouldn't be a whole bunch of them that are at risk of not even getting out of committee before the deadline. That deadline being Monday. Every single thing that you're seeing play out in the Wyoming legislature right now, with the budget, with the House not finishing all of its work, bills dying before they ever get to the floor of the House, the majority of their prized committee bills failing introduction can be traced all the way back to when Albert Sommers took over the Speaker's chair. The often written about division in the House of Representatives lies squarely at the doorstep of Wyoming Speaker of the House, Albert Sommers. Clearly, Albert Sommers doesn't have really all that much to do with the ideological makeup of his chamber. That's just the result of an election. But what he most definitely can control is whether or not those two groups can work together. In years past, there have been similar splits in the House of Representatives, and they were still able to get some work accomplished for Wyoming citizens. But the performance of the 67th legislature, that's this one, seems markedly different. If you'd like to know why there's so much contention in the Wyoming House of Representatives this year, there's only one big difference, and that's Albert Sommers and his absolute lack of any ability to manage the House. And he set it up that way from the very beginning. Right after Albert Sommers was elected Speaker of the House, he released his committee assignments for the 67th legislature. Across the board, conservatives were only given one committee. This is very different than when Eric Barlow was Speaker of the House, or even when Steve Harshman was Speaker of the House. Everybody pretty much had the same number of committees. Not with Albert Sommers. Mark Jennings, who only lost the Speaker's race by 2 votes, who is one of the most senior members of the House of Representatives, got one committee, Judiciary. Albert's allies? Well, that's an entirely different story. Barry Crago now has 5 committees. 5. Dan Zwanitzer? If you count all the subcommittees, he has 9 of them. Even freshman legislators have more committees than any of the conservatives. Take, for example, freshman legislator and complete tool of the Wyoming Education Association, Ryan Berger. He has 3 to Mark Jennings's 1. So if you'd like to know why things aren't getting done in the Wyoming House of Representatives, or why all of those committee bills died, it's because conservatives weren't even given a chance to weigh in on hardly any of them. Think about it. Why would you vote for something that you had absolutely no input on? Wednesday afternoon, Cheyenne conservative Tamara Trujillo obviously had had enough of it. Here's what she said on the floor of the House.
Being a freshman and this being my first time observing committees, boards, task force, the floor, and voting, it's obvious the way the floor moves. And what's also obvious is that maybe if the committees were a little bit more equal representation during the interim, we wouldn't have the split so much on the floor as to passing bills and not passing bills. I did an analysis over the interim on how we voted in the beginning and where the boards and committees and task force sit. And if you want to look at that, I'll give it to you, but there's obviously a split in the House. And if you look at these committees, there is not equal representation. If we had equal representation in these committees, then maybe the interim topics would be a little bit more appetizing when they come to the floor. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Boom. Exactly right. Albert and Ogden Driscoll did this to themselves. To the cow pie. In an article entitled, "A Frustrated Driscoll Says Wyoming Senate Has Become Divisive and Mean." And I quote, "Wyoming Senate President Ogden Driscoll believes his chamber has become, quote, a divisive, mean body of legislators who, instead of working to make a better Wyoming, engage in personalized attacks and self-serving agendas. He said members of the Senate need to take a hard look in the mirror and decide what they want Wyoming's government to stand for. Quote, we're not going to pay our employees well that we don't really care a whole lot about. And what we want is a very de minimis government that does the baseline of things, Driscoll said. End quote. Uh-huh. Earlier this week in the cow pie, it was Driscoll that said his appropriations committee reflects the will of the body and that he was in complete support of them. If you remember correctly from earlier this week, Driscoll appointed the most conservative legislators in the Senate to the Joint Appropriations Committee. Honestly, what did he expect was going to come out of it? But I digress. But listen to the next part that Trotsky writes. Quote, one of his chief complaints is that the $9.7 billion biennial budget proposal that came out of his chamber, although Driscoll voted for it, he said that doing so was a painful experience because of the many aspects of it that he disagreed with. The biennial budget is now negotiated between the Senate and the House. Here's the important part. Driscoll appointed Senator Dave Kinski of Sheridan to be the chair of the Senate's Joint Conference Committee, a group charged with representing the chamber's interests in its negotiations with the House over the biennial budget. End quote. First, the chairman of the Appropriations Committee is always on the conference committee for the budget. Second, it was Ogden Driscoll who attempted to remove Dave Kinski from the Senate Appropriations Committee earlier this past year. The funny part about that whole situation is his reasoning for doing it. He accused Dave Kinski of not attending joint appropriations committees, even though Kinski attended via Zoom. And in that very same meeting that Ogden Driscoll accused Dave Kinski of doing that, Ogden was in Mexico participating over Zoom. Rules for thee, but not for me. And then there's this from 6 days ago in the cow pie. And I quote, Senate President Ogden Driscoll said he received the message loud and clear from state senators about the direction they want to go for their biennial budget. Quote, the body spoke really clearly that they wanted a conservative approach, Driscoll said. So he gave them what they wanted by appointing an ultra-conservative joint conference committee for the biennial budget discussion. Driscoll raised a few eyebrows with his Tuesday selections to represent the Wyoming Senate to work with the House as both advocate for each chamber's respective biennial budgets. Although Dave Kinski of Sheridan and Tim Salazar weren't surprising picks as current members of the Senate Appropriations Committee, more unexpected were Driscoll's selections of Anthony Bouchard, Dan Larson, and Troy McEwen of Gillette. The trio are some of the most conservative members of the Senate. Driscoll said he chose the latter three because he believes the Senate and Kinski sent a clear message that they want a more conservative budget than what they were originally presented at the start of the session. He believes Kinski has made it clear he doesn't think the Senate has been conservative enough in the past. End quote. So when things work in Ogden Driscoll's favor, like paying attention to what his entire Senate told him, he's all in favor of it. But when his own personal political decisions go against his personal political motives, then he says stuff like this. From this morning's steaming cowpie, Trotsky writes, quote, it's pretty tragic that we spent the whole interim developing a budget that we totally threw away on the first day, Driscoll said. That is absolutely a disservice to the entire Appropriations Committee. End quote. It's worth pointing out at this point Trotsky's own lack of self-reflection. Less than 1 week ago, he wrote an article about Driscoll's choice of members of the Joint Conference Committee. He extolled the virtues of Ogden Driscoll listening to the will of the body. And then this morning, it's completely the opposite. I swear, my friends, none of these people, Trotsky included, have an ounce of integrity. Yeah, isn't that the truth? Well, let's take a quick break and get a word in from our sponsors. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for any type of building for your property, whether it's a garage or a barn or maybe a roping arena or even a big gigantic warehouse for your business, the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. It's the middle of winter, and you're probably not thinking about camping right about now, but maybe you should be. Right now is a perfect time to get your camper in shape for the first day of spring and the first camping trip. The people you need to talk to about fixing anything wrong with your camper is Young's Camper Repair over in Worland. Tim and Tammy Young are experts in fixing just about anything that's wrong with it. And get this, if it's way too inconvenient for you to take your camper all the way to Worland, Tim and Tammy Young will come to you and fix your camper on site. Give them a call. Their phone number is 307-431-8110. That's 307-431-8110. Or you could just shoot them an email at youngscamperrepair@gmail.com. You can listen to the program anywhere that you get your podcasts, but the easiest place is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows, as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you can't remember what kind of pudding you had for lunch, well, I really can't help you with that. But I can help you with why you should have never ran for president. You should just go to the website, pull up an article, and educate yourself. And now, back to the program. The truth of all of this is we're probably going to have a special session because the House and the Senate could not do their constitutional duty and pass a budget during the budget session. And just a complete squirrel moment before we continue with the rest of the program. Interestingly enough, my pal Barry Crago, Poisonberry, strong, tough, conservative Barry Crago, delivered one of his notorious campaign flyers to my mailbox. Thanks for putting it in the mailbox, Barry, instead of the windshield of my car. Of course, he again claims to be a conservative, and among his legislative priorities listed on one side of the flyer, he says, pass a balanced budget. Interesting that Barry would choose as one of his goals something that he has no choice but doing, and he still couldn't pull that off. But enough of that. Next up on the program, my favorite subject, things that go boom. There are still a couple of good pieces of firearms legislation alive in the Wyoming legislature. One of those is House Bill 125. That's the Eliminate Gun-Free Zones bill from Jeremy Harrelson. There were only seven people that voted against it in the House. The Democrats, of course. Republican Bill Henderson of Cheyenne.
Whoa. I think you got to stop and take a look at what you're doing here. I speak against this because it kind of reminds me of that fairy tale, Cinderella.
I guess Bill didn't think that his soon-to-be opponent in the upcoming election had enough material against him. He had to add the cherry on top of campaign literature that's going to be mailed out in Cheyenne, an anti-Second Amendment vote. Perfect, Bill. Just perfect. It didn't end there, though. Henderson had to release a statement to the media explaining his vote. Here it is from KGAB AM 650, and I quote, "As a strong supporter of our Second Amendment rights, my vote stands on the side of Wyoming schools to make this critical school safety and security choice for themselves. After all, they already have the ability to allow individuals with concealed carry permits to be on school property." End quote. First of all, Bill, when you vote against getting rid of gun-free zones, you're not that great of a supporter of the Second Amendment. And secondly, we don't allow people with concealed carry permits to be on school property with a firearm. Yet. I have to tell you, my friends, it's going to be a sad day when there are no more Bill Henderson comedy shorts.
English is a pesky language.
Priceless. But there's yet another gun bill that was just heard in House Travel and Recreation. That's Senate File 109, Bo Bightman's Prohibit Red Flag Gun Seizure Act. A red flag gun seizure is when somebody reports that another individual is a danger to the community, and then the cops show up and take their guns away from them. Currently, Wyoming doesn't have a law prohibiting that practice. The legislation as written would allow you to sue a law enforcement agency if that sort of thing happens to you. Absolutely, you should be able to sue a law enforcement agency if that sort of thing happens to you. The problem with the bill is that usually these things happen to people that don't have a lot of money. You would still have to hire an attorney, it's still going to cost you a crap load, and you still have to pay for an appeal. The government has an unlimited amount of resources, and if this sort of situation happens, they are going to challenge any sort of decision against them. Mark Jones of Gun Owners of America brought this up to the committee. For a time, it appeared that the chairwoman of the committee, Sandbag Sandy Newsom, was amenable to the idea of including a criminal penalty in the legislation. Here's what Mark Jones of Gun Owners of America had to say in that committee meeting.
Red flag gun confiscation orders violate at least four of the amendments to the U.S. Constitution. They violate your Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms, your Fourth Amendment rights not to be subject to unreasonable search and seizures, your Fifth Amendment rights to go before a grand jury, and your 14th Amendment rights to due process. So we certainly support the concepts in this bill. I want to point out that under Wyoming law, or law of any state, there are two main ways for a citizen to seek relief when they're aggrieved, and one is civil and the other is criminal. This bill has a civil penalty, which is excellent, but I should point out that in 2022, Wyoming passed the Second Amendment Protection Act, and it made a criminal offense out of the unconstitutional enforcement of federal gun control. Now, a citizen in Wyoming who's aggrieved under any of these types of statutes that only has a criminal civil penalty would be forced to hire their own attorney, go in front of appointed judges to seek relief. And we're okay with that. By having the criminal path available, the county prosecutors are also on the hook to enforce the law. I believe it's important to make it clear in this proposed legislation that violations of this legislation are already a violation of Wyoming statutes. Wyoming statute 9-14-203, passed 2 years ago, commonly referred to as SAPA, makes it illegal to do this type of thing. And there's a criminal penalty in our statutes now. So I believe that it would be important on page 7, line 7, to insert a reference to the Wyoming Second Amendment Protection Act, statute 9-14-203, to make it clear that this is also a criminal violation.
Sounds like a no-brainer, doesn't it? You could sue a law enforcement agency for using one of these red flag gun seizures, and it's against the law, so county prosecutors would have to file charges against that law enforcement agency. But inexplicably, the other so-called gun rights organization, Wyoming Gun Owners, said they're not in favor of a criminal penalty. Here's what Wyoming Gun Owners head Aaron Dorr had to say on it.
There's been a lot of talk about the penalty section in this bill. It's found on page 7. Our members believe that civil penalties are the appropriate response to a red flag infraction. We disagreed with the criminal penalties in the section of the law that was passed 2 years ago because our members support law enforcement, and they believe that most times when these orders are given to be followed, they're done so by department heads, oftentimes who are political appointees, where the frontline officers reject gun control and red flag laws in particular.
First, Wyoming's Second Amendment Protection Act was supported by law enforcement officers. I was at the bill signing. The room was packed with cops. Second, the reason that the Wyoming Gun Owners Organization was not in support of Senate File 102, which is the SAPA bill, is it wasn't their bill. Here's what Aaron Doerr had to say about Senate File 102 during one of his numerous videos at the time.
What SAPA has done, or what Larry Hicks has done, and what Gun Owners of America has done is destroyed that notion. And in their bill, the county and state prosecutors are the only ones who can enforce a SAPA violation. Every gun owner in Wyoming knows that will never happen. For political reasons, they will never bring a charge against local law enforcement. They work with them every single day. That difference by itself, that nuance by itself, destroys SAPA.
Huh. Seems a little bit different, doesn't it? The truth is, there's absolutely no reason why you wouldn't want to have both penalties, both a civil and a criminal penalty. The whole idea is to prevent Wyoming law enforcement, or any other agency for that matter, from illegally and unconstitutionally taking your guns. If you watch the committee meeting, Sandy Newsom, the chairwoman of Travel and Recreation, actually likes the idea of including a criminal penalty. But it wasn't until Aaron Doerr said that, and then the question was put to Senator Bo Bightman. Here's what he had to say. This is absolutely inexplicable.
So as the sponsor of the bill,
I would prefer not to add criminal penalties. I think it may be seen as anti-law enforcement, and we're certainly not anti-law enforcement. I think also, you know, dealing with getting a prosecutor, a local DA, to prosecute a local cop, probably not going to happen. So okay. I think you're adding it in there, but I don't ever see that ever happening. I think the most logical course of action would be to take a civil action and get an injunction from a judge to get your to establish due process.
Okay.
That doesn't make any sense. The SAPA legislation that was passed in 2021 absolutely was supported by law enforcement. If this criminal penalty is anti-law enforcement, as Senator Bightman and Aaron Doerr say it is, why was the bill signing of the SAPA bill packed with cops? And then there's the problem of people actually having access to the courts. Like I said earlier, with this bill, as it sits right now, you have to have the money to hire an attorney to defend your Second Amendment rights. That's absolutely ridiculous. Why would you not want to have both a criminal penalty and a civil one? It doesn't make any sense. And then Bo Bightman goes on to say that your county attorney isn't going to follow the law. Absolutely inexplicable. Well, anyway, this bill was first heard on the floor of the House on Friday, and it's up for second reading on Monday. Be that as it may, it's absolutely a good thing that we've got two big pro-Second Amendment bills that are still alive in the Wyoming legislature. I'll make sure I let you know how they turn out. That'll about do it for today's installment of Weekend Update. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.